You know, last week we were wonderfully blessed by Bill and Janet. And so for me, it was such a powerful moment. And I just felt, in light of what had happened last week and what needed to happen this weekend, that God wants to stir up something in our lives this morning, that there's more. So I want to ask a quick question before I get into the preach. Who here stays in the Dimble area? Raise your hands. Great. Who stays in Brackenfell? Raise your hands. Great. Who stays in Kales River? Raise your hands. All right. Now I'm going to say to you, who works in the northern suburbs? Raise your hands. Who works in Cape Town? Raise your hands. Who works in Century City? That part of the world. Who works towards Paarl, Stellenbosch? Raise your hands. All right. And then some of us will stay in the neighboring towns. And we're asking the Lord to pour out His Holy Spirit on us. Open the floodgates of heaven. Why do you think He's doing that? Because you and I are needed to go and make a difference in the areas that God calls us to. And I want to show you something from Scripture this morning, which I felt the Lord really highlighted to me. So I'm going to run through stuff. I know it's been a very busy morning, but I trust that today is your Sabbath. It's a day that we set apart for the things of God. We're going to have family time, but you know what? There's one place that we want to be, and that's at the feet of Jesus this morning. All right? And so I want to touch on a few things here this morning. And so I'm going to start off with Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12. Thanks, Kev. It says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up." So we keep that there. This was specific last week. We had a prophetess in the house, a fivefold gifting in Janet. And it was wonderful to have the testimony of Elize this morning, that 48 hours later, God moved because she responded in her heart. Because God sees the heart. You and I, we see the outward. He sees the heart. And then He's faithful. You know what? Because God's love language is obedience. When we respond in obedience, God moves. And we spoke about that last week. And so what I felt was, as we were looking at this, you know, we're reminded that the gifts that are given to us are not just there so that people can be given a platform, but they're there to equip and train us so that we as a people can grow up and mature in the things of God. And so this is why these gifts are so important. But what I felt for us as we were going along is that the Lord was saying to me, "But Ants, you're going to have the office of the fivefold ministry, but did you know that every saint could operate in those gifts without the office?" And so I'm going to run through them this morning. I'm going to touch on a few things which I hope will encourage us as a people. What is important this morning, and as we were wonderfully blessed last week with Janet, one of the things that's important is that we need to be a people that are word-based, but we also need to be a people that are Holy Spirit-filled and led, and we need the combination. We run in tandem with those two things, and without them, we're deficient, all right? And so this morning, that's why it's so important that we have the Word of God preached, but we also believe by faith that it's under the unction and the inspiring of the Holy Spirit, who wants to bring revelation and illumination. So as the Word gets preached, God is going to reveal things to you this morning, because He is putting His thumb on areas in your life that need to shift and change, or those that you need to reach out to. Okay, so it's important. And so as I looked at these five gifts, one of the things that I went back to was, how did Jesus operate in them? Because He is our model. He's our role model. If you want to see how things happen in the Bible, you go and you read about Jesus and go and see how He did these things. And He was the perfect example for us working in all five of these areas and how we should live them out on a daily basis. And so I want to touch on this, that if a church is growing in maturity, we will function well in all of these areas. And in other areas, these are not just the last five. There are many other areas that we will grow up in, because God is doing something in us. It will be a natural progression of what God does with us as a congregation. So let's, for those of you making notes, the first one is the apostle, okay? So we speak about the apostle. It's interesting, in Ephesians 4, it would seem that the way that it has been mentioned, it's in order of merit, in inverted commas. Whilst we're all equal in value, we differ in function. And these were specific offices that were highlighted, but I want to show you how we can actually live in this. Let's just see, firstly, who the ultimate apostle is. Hebrews 3, please. Therefore, holy brothers, who shared in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest of whom we confess. So Jesus was the apostle, which means sent one. Say sent one. He was sent by the Father to break new ground. He was sent by the Father to establish his kingdom here on earth. And so his purpose when he came, we see in Matthew 1, 21, let's see what that says. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. This is the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph in his dream. And says, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus was sent with a purpose to save people from their sins. Very good. Jesus also, whilst he was moving around, constantly reminded that he did not come on his own authority, but was sent by the Father. Let's see, John 5:30. By myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So Jesus wasn't acting on his own accord. He came to do what the Father had called him to do. And then God, interestingly, breaks into a guy's life, a guy called Paul in Acts 9. And what happens is, in Acts 9, Paul gets blinded by the Lord. And then what happens is, Ananias, who's somewhere else in town, has to go and pray for what was Saul, who became Paul. And the Lord said to him, I want you to go and pray for Saul. And he was terrified because he knew what Saul was like. But then the Lord said to him, I need you to go and tell him, because he's going to be my chosen instrument, and he's going to minister to the Gentiles, to kings, and to all of those in Israel. And what would happen immediately? There would be a mission given to Paul, who would have to go. Sent by the Lord. Listen to Galatians 1:1, when Paul speaks. Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. When you read scriptures, you can start to see in the different books that Paul wrote that this is what he speaks of. He introduces who he is. He doesn't say, my name is Apostle Paul or Prophet Paul. It's Paul, an apostle. It's a function. Okay. Now, where does that leave you and I? Very good question, Kells River. Did you know that we were sent as well? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. What did Jesus say? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He says, now go. We have been sent. We're a sent people. You are not new apostolic or old apostolic. We are just apostolic, meaning we are sent ones, which means that we go into our areas of influence, where your job is, where your school is, where your neighborhood is, where you play sport, whatever you give yourself to. God has purposed for you and I to be in those places, because we've got to be able to listen and look out for what God is doing in our lives for the people that he wants to touch and reach, because you and I become his eyes, ears, hands, feet, and mouth. Amen. So this week, when you leave this place, I want you to be alert. And I want you to be open for where God is placing you and how he wants to work through you. Because perhaps you're being sent into a moment that God can move powerfully through your life to touch someone else's life. Come on. The second thing is the prophet or prophetess. And this is speaking God's timely word. The crowds recognize Jesus as a powerful prophet. We see that in Matthew 21:11. They said that he is a prophet that comes from Galilee. Right? And what happens was Jesus constantly listened to the Father. He exposed the wrongdoing of what was happening in the areas that he was finding himself, because he was hearing what God was saying and he was bringing truth into those situations. And then he spoke deep words of comfort to those that were in need. He was very sensitive. He was very compassionate with where people were at. But I love this one. John 4, verses 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. It's one of my favorite pieces in Scripture. What happened at this given time? Here was a woman who was married 5 times, and the last person that she was not her husband, but somebody that she was living with. And Jesus had been engaging her in conversation. And then he said to her, go and call your husband. She said, I do not have a husband. Word of knowledge came. He heard from the Father. He said, I see you don't have a husband. In fact, you had 5 husbands, and the person that you're with now is not your husband. What was she looking for? She was looking for love. She was looking for protection. She was looking for care. And Jesus could get into the very core of her being. No condemnation, no judgment, but reaching out with a heart of love. And he starts to speak to her about living water, because that's Jesus' favorite drink. What the hell? So, interestingly, remember last week when I spoke about the prophet, when they speak, when somebody speaks, and they're bringing a prophetic word, sometimes what will happen is they'll touch on your past, your present, or paint something of your future. Sometimes something of your future doesn't always make sense, but sometimes our God's preferred future for you and I doesn't make sense at the time. But we do not put out the Spirit's fire. We do not treat prophecy with contempt, but we test everything. And I said last week, when a prophetic word is given, park it. Don't go and try and make it happen. You've got to trust God that in the right time, He will bring it to fulfillment. And so, we can all be prophetic. We just need to tune our ears to what the Lord is saying. And so, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1, for those of you making notes, it says we need to desire the greater gift, which is prophecy. We can eagerly desire this gift. And so, when we talk about the prophetic, again, I love the way that Janet put it together. She says, it's hear, see, feel. I hear the Lord saying. I feel the Lord is saying. Or I see something of your future. All right? And so we need to learn to grow in this area. But I do want to encourage us that as you meet with people, you need to ask God, God, what are you saying right now for this person, for the office, for the area of influence? What are you saying? What is your heart for this place? And we need to be asking God, and we need to be in tune as we go into these places. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit's promptings. And we don't have to be weird. There's times when nothing happens. But then there's times where God will heighten things in you for you to be aware, because He wants to deliver something in that context. And I want to say to people here this morning, this isn't a license for car park prophecies this morning. If you give any word of direction, you need to have people with you hearing you speak, or you at least have to record that, because many people have been hurt severely in the church by receiving words from people, and it will sound really cool to their ears. And many people have sacrificed their families and businesses because they responded to a word that was given, but they never tested it, and there was no accountability. What was that other thing of hatch? Yeah, another one is, with prophetic stuff, don't match, hatch, and dispatch. Oh, this is your husband, or this is your wife-to-be. Be very careful, even when we prophesy around areas of children and that. Be very, very careful when you bring those words. Be sensitive. I'm not saying that you cannot say, I'm sensing and feeling, perhaps the Lord is saying this. But we need to be sure, and that's an area that we've got to grow in our gifting to help people. All right. Someone like Janet, she's got 30-odd years of prophesying in 40-odd countries around the world. She's got a track record, and we saw the proof of it this morning. And so she's got track record, but she can also make a mistake, and she'll be the first one to acknowledge it. That's why you test everything. Amen? Is this helpful? All right. Thirdly, the evangelist. And I'm going to run through these. This is sharing the magnificent story of Jesus. Jesus went everywhere proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And we see that throughout the Gospels. He was speaking about the kingdom that had come, that Jesus had arrived. And so what he was doing is he was telling them that actually the kingdom of God has arrived to save sinners, those that are broken, those that are lost, from being lost. And he was reaching out to them and saying, he is here. But I love the story when I think of Jesus the evangelist, because when he was with the woman at the well, once again, one of my favorite stories, he announces to her that the good news has just arrived. And he has a conversation with her. Now, I want you to understand, this woman was despised in her village. The ladies, when they saw her walk past their husbands, they were like, here's a problem here. Ladies became insecure around her. She was seen as licentious. And so she was a very, very broken lady. And Jesus knew this. But the most beautiful thing is that as he shared the gospel with her, the gospel is for all. As he shared the gospel with her, her life started to change. And then the testimony of the evangelist, and I want to say to you, you do not have to be a Christian for a year before you can go share your story. She got saved immediately, and she went into her village, and she said, you must come and see this guy who told me everything about my life. He surely must be the Messiah. And then what happened was, they all went, and the whole village got saved. I want to say to you this morning, do your work colleagues know that you're saved? Do your neighbors know that you're saved? Do the people that you play sport with know that you're saved? You don't have to run around with your Bible, but when people speak to you and they say to you, you know, 2 weeks ago I was playing golf and a guy said to me, so what do you do? And I knew this is normally those moments when you tell me you're a pastor, the conversation goes south. And I just said to him, no, man, I lead a church. I love Jesus. I lead a church. And then we started talking, but they were like Philistines. They were swearing and hunting on, and I was just smiling through the process because you know what? I was there once. I can't judge them. They can't think like we think. And that's the problem. I think I've made many mistakes over the years where I demand something of an unsaved person, but not understanding I was there at one point. And we can just share something of our lives, of what God has done, and just saying how excited I am about Kales River and what God is busy doing here. And so this woman did exactly the same, and very quickly a whole village got saved because she shared her story. Now let me tell you something about a testimony. You can have a 1 minute testimony, a 3 minute testimony, and a 5 minute testimony. At the max 7, really hitting it at the max 10. But you don't need to tell people, you know, when I was a drug addict, I used to stick that needle in over here that actually came out the other side of my arm, and then I had another bucket that I could draw some extra stuff into my system. And some guys get like really into the gory, and I was like seeing lions and tigers and pigs floating and all kinds of stuff. You know what? Maybe that's what you were seeing. I see that without drugs sometimes. The point is this. You don't have to get gory with your story. You know, for many of us, we've got a past. But your story should be right now. What is Jesus doing? I reflect on my past. I come out of a family where my mom and dad got divorced when I was young. It was messy. I grew up in a home that I want to say it was difficult circumstances. Always was told, you won't amount to much. But then Jesus broke into my life. And I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't leave me as I am because I married a beautiful girl. And I want to tell you something. 6 years into our marriage, we nearly got divorced because I was an idiot. And then the Lord really had to deal with me. And I had to take full responsibility because where our marriage was at was because of me. Don't point fingers. Don't blame. Take ownership upon yourself and accept that, Lord, I will take responsibility for where I'm at. I own this thing. Help me. Please guide me. Please lead me. And it's been a journey of hard work. And I want to say to you, it's been an ongoing journey of growth and learning, unlearning, relearning. But today, I give God all the glory. Because in my family, and I'm talking about my biological sister who's passed away, my half-brothers, both of them are divorced. My sister was divorced. I'm the only one that was saved in my family, and we are still going. My mom and dad obviously got divorced when I was young. But we are in a space where I've said, Lord, if I can be married to her for 50 years minimum, please allow that. But I want to say to you, it comes with hard work. Hard work. Marriage isn't easy. Your testimony should be what God is busy doing in your life right now. You don't need a microphone to be an evangelist. You can start right now to share with people what Jesus is doing in your life. Very simply, what is Jesus doing in your life right now since you've been part of Kales River? Come on. We've got some rappers in the house. Come on. What is God doing right now? How's your marriage changing? How's your relationships with your children changing? How are your friendships changing? How many of you have made new friends since you've been part of this work? And you know what? You've got to believe that God has a purpose and a plan and a future for this congregation, and you are part of this because He chose you, He appointed you to go and bear good fruit until He calls you home. Come on, church. Let's get those evangelist boots on and go and rock the daisies. The last two, the pastor, is caring and discipling like a shepherd or a shepherdess. And I want to say to you this morning that Jesus was the good shepherd. Look at John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, we as Bible-believing followers need to understand that when we look at this, there's a wonderful model for us. It's not about what you can get out of this deal. It's what you bring to it. And we lay down our lives for one another. We prefer one another. And I don't want to mention any names here, just because I haven't verified this, but I was wonderfully blessed with a set of golf clubs a couple of weeks ago. I didn't ask for it. But a friend just came to me and he said, you know what? You've been using this. Try them out. You can have them. Sometimes we've got to lay our lives down for others and say, Lord, if I can bring joy to somebody, or if I can help them walk closer to the things of you, if it comes at a cost to me, I'm prepared to do that, Lord, so that that person can walk closer to you. That's how Jesus wants us to live our lives as shepherds. We look out for people. We need to look out for people in our congregation. As a leader, I'm often scouting and I'm going, who's not here? How many of us are sitting here, perhaps this morning? I know, for example, Jacques isn't here this morning because he contacted me in the week. He said, Ants, I'm not going to be here. We've got some arrangements on. Some guys will reach out. They'll let you know. But you know that there's another family that are not here this morning. It's Jan and what's her? Enya. And their little daughter, Elizabeth, is in ER right now, battling to breathe. They had to take her last night. See, when we start to wonder where our family is, don't leave it up to the elders and the deacons and the comm group leaders. You as the saints should be checking in with your friends and saying, hey, where are you? What happened? I've seen you've been away for 2 weeks. 1 week is not an issue. Just let us know where you are. It's not because we're trying to crop in your sly. We just want to know that you're okay. I want to take 1 minute as a church. We want to pray for Elizabeth right now. Do we believe that God can heal her? And we pray for her parents, Jan and Enya, hey? Let's just, where you are sitting, let's take 30 seconds. Just lift up your voices and let's pray for them. Father, we just pray right now for Jan and Enya and for Elizabeth. God, would you come and move powerfully over their lives. Father, we pray, Lord, for your breath to go into her lungs and to heal and restore and renew and refresh in Jesus' name. And I thank you this morning, Lord God, that we can trust you, that as we're not with them, but by your Spirit you will move in their situation. We ask, Lord, for divine intervention and healing. And everybody prayed this in Jesus' name and said, amen. Right, now we're going to land. Reach out to those that are missing. And the last one is the teacher. And this is grounding one another in the Word of God. Jesus spent much of his ministry preaching and teaching. And the funny thing is, Jesus was doing it with ordinary people like you and I. He never sat with the intellects. When he did have his moments, he dealt with them. But sometimes they were just so silly that he just kept quiet. But who did he come to reach? The poor. Poor in spirit. The broken, the lost. And so what happens is Jesus would teach about the things of God and about the kingdom. And he often used stories to bring about a point or bring about some spiritual truths. And so this morning, I wanted to ask you, what is your area of interest? What are your passions? What do you like to give yourself to? And you can go and check this out in Matthew, and those of you making notes, you can go and look it up in Matthew 7, verses 28 to 29, and just read some of the chapters, the scriptures around that. The point that I want to get to here is, what spiritual truth do you think you can learn from the areas that you are involved in with your life? You like hiking? Some of you work in the medical field. Some of you like cooking. Some of you like cycling, gymming. And look at your area of influence and then ask yourself this question, Lord, what spiritual truths could I take that I could use to encourage others or even be encouraged myself? Remember, we never violate what Scripture teaches, but Jesus always used stories to make a point. Why? When he often used parables of the mustard seed or of farming, why? Because that was the community. People understood what was being said because they could relate to it. Jesus didn't come to give us rocket science. He came to give us stuff that you and I could work with, and we are to do the same with those that we work with. Amen? So, I want to land with these three scriptures, which are really important to me. 2 Timothy. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is a scripture I hold dearly to. Can I say to you, read your Bible, because that's how you will get to know God's heart for you, and then you'll be able to apply some of the simple truths when you help your brothers and sisters. The second scripture is 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is stuff that will help us as we get to know the scriptures, as we get to walk out our walk. What will happen is this stuff is foundation for me. This is what's helped me in my journey. These are the things I come back to. And then Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13 says the following. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. If you can get these scriptures into your heart and mind, I believe they will set you up really well, not only to walk out your own walk, but also to help other people. Because you can say to people, if you're covering up your sin, the word of God tells us that nothing is hidden. So if we are battling with stuff, don't hold on to it. It'll be like yeast. It'll just fester and it'll grow in you and it'll eventually wipe you out. We don't stand in judgment here. We love and we want to help people have breakthrough and get over the things that are keeping them in bondage. Does this make sense? Be a people that will help each other and teach each other in the things of God. For me, one of the most exciting things is when a saint is able to help another saint in the things of God and not say, well, let's phone the pastor or one of the elders, one of the deacons. Can you handle the truth and the word of God appropriately? We all need to do this. And as I close with this, as we go from this place today, we've seen the five things that we can operate in. But as a people, we got to be ready and we got to say, Lord, you've brought us here. We've been equipped. We've been prepared for a moment such as this. This is not by chance that you are here this morning or the last few weeks. But this is a moment that God has handpicked for you to be here. And I want to say to folk, be here regularly. Because when you aren't here regularly, what happens is you fall behind. The kingdom of God is advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. There are people in our communities that are dying, that are going to go to hell if we don't get the gospel out to them. Okay? But you cannot do this in your own strength. We need the Holy Spirit. And this is where I land. We need the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8 says that you will receive power. What is that for? To be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why I asked the question initially. Where do you stay? What are your areas of influence? Where do you work? Because I feel like the Lord is really wanting to bring us to a place and he's saying the time is now. The time is now for us to get on his mission and to serve His purposes. And I'm going to say that there are some of us here this morning that you're going to have your mind shifted and changed this morning, because the Lord is going to use you this week as you go into your different areas of influence. He not only wants to hit your neighborhood, your suburb, He wants to hit the city, He wants to hit this nation, and He's going to hit the nations of the world. Because some of you are going to be traveling, and you're going to be testifying at 35,000 feet that hopefully the plane doesn't fall out of the sky, but at least you know where you're going if it does happen. And you're going to be bringing the gospel to people and sharing your testimony and sharing stories that will make Him known to others. Amen. So, with the Holy Spirit's power, He gives you supernatural boldness to speak up. And we're going to pray for that infilling now. We're going to pray, Holy Spirit, You said, Lord, let it rain on us this morning. We're going to trust for that outpouring, that boldness and courage will rise up in us, that He'll give promptings and the right words for us. And some of us are going to be suddenly finding ourselves in a place where this power and this courage arises up, and the Lord is saying, I want you to speak words of life and encouragement to this person. And some of you will be praying into circumstances, and we're going to trust that God will bring breakthrough in businesses and areas of influence so that the gospel can be made known to those that are lost and broken. And lastly, He fluidly shifts based on the need. And for you and I, the person that is in front of you, you need to know that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you exactly what that person needs. So this morning, I'm standing. You don't need to stand to impress me, because I'm here and I'm saying to you this morning, I'm saying, Lord, use me. Use me. If I can be a blessing to one person this week, I want you to use me. If I can send an encouragement or a prayer or something that would be different and out of the norm from my normal way of operating, Lord, I want to be used by You and I want to be filled by You. If that's you this morning, please stand. Let's open our hands. Father, this morning, as a people, we are humbled by what You've been doing here in Kales River. We are humbled by the fact, Lord, as we see the testimonies, as the weeks have gone by, of what You've done in people's lives, what You've done in marriages, what You're doing in households, and what You're doing in work circumstances. Lord, the list is endless here this morning. But it's like a sensing this morning, Lord. You're saying, the time is right now. The time is right now. It's time to really move out and to go and impact our areas of influence. Lord, we appreciate the office of an apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we have them in Josh Jen and in 412, and they have so wonderfully built into us. But Lord, You're calling more of us to a place where You're saying that some of us need to realize, Lord, that we can all operate in these areas. And I want to ask that You, Holy Spirit, would come and rest on us now. Come and anoint us, Lord. Come and flood us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. We receive it, Jesus. You're the dispenser of Your Holy Spirit. We receive it now. We receive that power, Lord. God, just where you are, just start to lift up your voices. Just start to pray in tongues, pray in your heavenly language, in your natural language. Just call out to Him. Say, Lord, come and just fill me. Fill me anew. Fill me afresh. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Lord, this morning, it is by faith that we receive this. And it's by faith that when we walk out of these doors, that we will go and do what You've called us to do. And we thank You this morning in advance for testimonies of what's going to happen this week, as You use us as a church to make a difference in our areas of influence. And this morning we lay down our lives, our insecurities. We lay down this oh, this is my personality. Actually, Lord, we rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to be your voice, your hands, your feet, your ears, and eyes in these areas. We pray this in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you so much, Hans. I don't want to add to it. Sometimes I think people think we get together before the time and we collude in terms of what needs to happen this morning, but I just feel I need to share what I've actually the scripture that I put down, and I wasn't planning to share this, but it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I want to encourage you with that. 5 years ago, not even 5 years ago, God placed that man in my life. I never prayed in front of a group of people 5 years ago. It wasn't something that I ever did in my life. I didn't know what it was to lead a prayer meeting. I didn't know what it was to do stewardship. And I definitely didn't know what it takes to be an elder. I can promise you, but there's people that's standing here today, and God, I believe, is speaking to each and every single individual here this morning. You need to step up to the plate. And it's not me. It's God and the Holy Spirit. And I want to glorify and I want to honor God for what he's done in my life, but what he can do in your life. I had meetings with three individuals yesterday, different people, and discussion was over and over the same thing we're discussing this morning. The one person, I just saw this image where he stands with his hands like this, but he stands still. And he said, it's good to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, use me, but you need to take the step. You need to step forward. So I'm going to leave that with you. And then the last thing that I wrote down here, delayed obedience equals disobedience. So I want to leave that with you this morning. Delayed obedience equals disobedience. Thank you, Ant, for your faithfulness this morning. Thank you, Lee, for the special arrangements and the donuts. And just to make it special for us this morning, go out there, enjoy the coffee and tea. Enjoy the family time with your husbands. Honor your husbands. Enjoy the rest of your day. Amen. Oh, yes. And it is Anne's birthday tomorrow as well. Happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you, Anne.